to represent America in more countries than any previous Secretary of State, and through her tireless work to restore our global leadership. And she's looking forward to getting back to work, and I am looking forward to paying tribute to her extraordinary service in the days to come. Today, though, I'm looking ahead to my second term, and I am very proud to announce my choice for America's next Secretary of State, John Kerry. In a sense, John's entire life has prepared him for this role. As the son of a Foreign Service officer, he has a deep respect for the men and women of the State Department, the role they play in advancing our interests and values, the risks that they undertake, and the sacrifices that they make along with their families. Having served with valor in Vietnam, he understands that we have a responsibility to use American power wisely, especially our military power. And he knows from personal experience that when we send our troops into harm's way, we must give them the sound strategy, a clear mission, and the resources that they need to get the job done. In an extraordinarily distinguished Senate career, and as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, John's played a central role in every major foreign policy debate for nearly 30 years. As we turn the page on a decade of war, he understands that we've got to harness all elements of American power and ensure that they're working together, diplomatic and development, economic and political, military and intelligence, as well as the power of our values, which inspire so many people around the world. As John has said, we are an exceptional nation not because we say we are, but because we do exceptional things. And I'd say that one of the more exceptional things we've seen in recent decades was when John helped lead the way, along with folks like John McCain and others, to restore our diplomatic ties with Vietnam. And when he returned to the country where he and so many others had fought so long ago, it sent a powerful message of progress and of healing. Over these many years, John's earned the respect and confidence of leaders around the world. He is not going to need a lot of on-the-job training. He has earned the respect and trust of his Senate colleagues, Democrats and Republicans. I think it's fair to say that few individuals know as many presidents and prime ministers or grasp our foreign policies as firmly as John Kerry. And this makes him a perfect choice to guide American diplomacy in the years ahead. On a personal level, John has been a great friend. I've appreciated John's partnership in helping to advance so many of my foreign policy priorities, including the ratification of the New START Treaty. I've called on his talents and diplomatic skills on several occasions on complex challenges from Sudan and South Sudan to the situation in Afghanistan. And each time he has been exemplary. Of course, I also have to say thanks because John invited a young Illinois state senator to address the Democratic Convention in Boston. I was proud to serve with him on the Foreign Relations Committee under the tutelage of Joe Biden, and where we all became friends. But, of course, nothing brings two people closer together than weeks of debate prep. John, I'm looking forward to working with you instead of debating you. Finally, I want to thank Teresa. As someone who came to this country as an immigrant, she understands the shining values that America represents to the world. As a former interpreter at the United Nations, she appreciates how our interests can be advanced in partnership with others. Teresa, thank you so much for being John's partner in this next endeavor. I have to say, I think I speak for John and Joe and myself. We just left Danny Inouye's funeral, a man who exemplified the very best of the U.S. Senate tradition. And so I know that, John, it won't be easy to leave the Senate that you love. And I think it's fair to say that there are going to be some great challenges ahead. An uncertain world will continue to test our nation. But even with all the challenges that we face, I have never been more confident, more optimistic, that if we act with wisdom and with purpose, and if we're guided by our values, and we remind what binds us together as Americans, the United States will continue to lead in this world for our lifetimes. So, John, I'm very grateful that you've agreed to take on this new assignment. I'm confident that the Senate will confirm you quickly. I guess you won't be able to actually appear and preside at the same time, so we'll have to figure out how that works. But I know that you are going to be an outstanding Secretary of State. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
President Obama announcing that he has named John Kerry to be his Secretary of State. We're waiting to see if Senator Kerry has any words to say in the Roosevelt Room at the White House. You heard a shouted question about whether there will be a deal on the fiscal cliff, and that there's a huge issue confronting Washington this week. And it looks like the President and Senator Kerry have left the Roosevelt Room without taking questions. We should mention that John Kerry was there with his wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, formerly married to the late Senator John Hines, also Vice President Biden. Let's turn again to Scott Horsley at the White House. We just heard, Scott, the President talk about John Kerry as someone who spent his entire life, he said, has prepared him for this role. He's not going to need a lot of on-the-job training.
That's right. And he pointed out a connection that I confess I'd forgotten about. John Kerry, of course, played the role of Mitt Romney in the president's debate prep, which which did go on for many hours, and they had a lot of time to get acquainted again there.
As you think, Scott, about the second-term Obama administration shaping up, the name still to be revealed in terms of his nominees, what do you see and what differences do you see potentially in the second term?
Well, I think it's really going to be kind of a stay the course, but I think they'll be able to do more of the things that they have sort of chosen to do as opposed to the things that are forced upon them. You know, the president just referenced briefly there restoring alliances in Asia. That's been something that the White House has set as a strategic priority from the beginning, and the president has invested a fair amount of time in traveling and meeting with Asian leaders and of course, trying to shore up the U.S. position as a Pacific nation. So often, though, that's been overshadowed either by events in the Middle East, the wars that he's trying to wind down, or more recently, the Arab Spring. But I think what you hear him saying there is, of course, there will always be new challenges that we maybe can't even predict right now, but he still hopes to carry out those sort of strategic priorities that they've set for themselves.
David Wellner there at the Capitol, interesting to hear President Obama specifically make a nod to John McCain and Senator McCain and Senator Kerry's joint work in Vietnam. What is the timeline for the confirmation process? When would that happen? How does it work?
It would most likely begin in January. Now, of course, January is the same month when John Kerry was expected to preside over a Foreign Relations Committee hearing with Hillary Clinton as the main witness, probing the Benghazi killings. And that could be a fairly delicate affair if, in fact, Kerry ends up presiding over that. As the president mentioned, there's a question of who would preside over a confirmation hearing with John Kerry in the witness chair instead of in the chairman's chair.
Yeah.
But I think that this is not going to be the kind dramatic hearing that we might have expected had Susan Rice been the nominee for this post, because of the collegiality of the Senate and Kerry is somewhat aloof in his style. He's highly respected, and I think that this is one nomination we can expect to see sail through. The Senate has a somewhat interrupted schedule over the next couple of months. They're going to meet at the beginning of January, and then they're going to break until about the time of the inauguration, the 21st, and they'll be meeting after that. So we may not actually get him confirmed, assuming he gets past the committee, until possibly at the end of January or early February.
Michelle Kelman, David just mentioned Benghazi, and you covered this week the hearing before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Benghazi, the report that came from the State Department about the attack on the consulate there and the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens and the others there in Benghazi.
That's right. And the report was quite scathing of the State Department and its management failures. It's going to be something that, if confirmed, John Kerry is going to have to deal with. And now, Melissa, we didn't hear from him today, but I thought maybe it might be useful to listen a little bit about what he said at that hearing yesterday, just talking about the risks that diplomats face.
I distinctly remember feeling and seeing the difficulty of this in Vietnam, where villagers would examine us suspiciously and give us a stare, an unmistakable stare that raises many more questions than we're ever able to answer. In Iraq and Afghanistan, I have revisited that stare. As you pass through a village with masses of guns and big armored personnel carriers and Humvees, and the look of confusion and alienation from average Iraqis or Afghans who just don't understand why we're rumbling through their streets that way is unmistakable. I'll tell you, every diplomat worth their salt feels this tension and worries about the misimpression our security footprint can create in the minds of the very people that we're trying to reach, an impression that is starkly revealed on their faces when you're surrounded by gun-toting security personnel.
Michelle, that's John Kerry, Senator Kerry, speaking yesterday at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing. But it does speak to his approach to foreign policy and presumably the approach he'll bring as Secretary of State if he's confirmed.
That's right. I mean, it is a risky world out there. He talked about you want to balance the need for greater security for State Department personnel, but not have them be in these fortress embassies. That diplomacy is really about engaging not just governments, but also people. And again, this is something that Secretary Clinton has really promoted during her time. Benghazi obviously was a stain on her record. But he's going to have to figure that out, to help diplomats figure that out. How do you get behind the walls, get beyond the walls and reach out to people? How do you deal with all these new actors in a very risky world?
President Obama, of course, showered praise just now on Hillary Clinton. Talk a bit about her legacy as Secretary of State. What she'll be most remembered for in that job?
Well, for one, what he said was the most traveled Secretary of State. She's been to over, I think, 112, I think, is the count that we have now, countries, and logged a lot of miles. There has been a lot of debate recently about whether, you know, this has really paid off. I mean, certainly she's improved the image of America in a lot of places. She's become this real global icon. But whether there are tangible results is still something that people are debating. It is a difficult world to find, you know, quick fixes to, and to have, you know, the real consequential decisions being made. And as I pointed out earlier, this White House has been really controlling the foreign policy. So how much she actually gets